Here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goebel. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined as always by my co-host Scott Goebel. Scotty, it's the 12th of November 2012. I'm all the way over the other side of the country in Perth. You're obviously down there in Melbourne. It's beautiful weather here, Scotty. What's it like down in Melbourne?
Yeah, it's pretty good here too. Mid-20s and it's perfect mustache weather. I've got a 12-day growth going on, so I'm pretty proud of that, although I did see a picture of Luke Shembri today with his mustache, and I must admit, when it comes to the sleazy department, Shembri has me well and truly covered.
Ooh, how about a length department? Do you have a bit more length than bush?
I'm not sure. I'd say it's fairly even, but we're in an official sleazy mustache competition. I think Schmitty and Grecky are involved. I haven't seen any update pictures from them, but Shembri is a strong front runner with his Maltese jeans.
Yeah, you guys have gone up against each other in everything these days. You've got the mustache competition, and then you've got the FedEx competition, the pro qualifier. So don't know which one's more prestigious.
Yeah, that's it. It's a big one. But look, we're not judging the contest 2 weeks out, just like FedEx. So give me another couple of weeks to hone this baby and manicure it back to perfection, and I'll take it to him on comp day November 30th.
Nice. Now, Scotty, how's the new Mass Nutrition Moody Pond store going? You've got a bit more time under your belt in the store and stuff. How's that all coming along?
Yeah, it's great. We're fully stocked up. We're overflowing with stock at the moment. So, yeah, it's looking really good. We have got the muscle meals coming in every Saturday, so that always draws a crowd. We're going to have a big grand opening December 8th and 9th, 1 week after the Penrith grand opening. So we're going to have all sorts of competitions. I've already teed up a couple gym memberships and things to give away with some local gyms, and we'll have a whole lot going on that day. So I'll keep you informed of that. But so far, the shop's going great. Really happy with it. Thank you to everyone who's come down and visited me. I'm there every weekend, so feel free to come down. Just even if you're coming for a chat, don't feel like I can guilt you into buying anything, although I'll do my best. You are allowed to walk out with just some free advice if you like.
Very good, Scotty, very good. Now, with the NBC USA Nationals were on over the weekend, obviously always a massive comp. There was over 1,000 competitors in the show, and we're just going to do a bit of a quick wrap-up on it, just because it's not an Australian-based show, it's the American Nationals, but obviously a lot of pro card winners came out of this show, because that's awarding the top two from I know every one of the men's weight classes, and it looks like the other classes as well, because the men's physique, women's bodybuilding, the women's physique, the figure, the bikini, there's a lot of pro cards given away. It looks like about, looking at the names, it looks like about 60 to 70 or something. So just a huge, huge amount of pro cards given away. Brian Yerski comes out on top of the men's division. For me, it was it looked close between, obviously, the super heavyweight winner, Brian Yerski, and the heavyweight winner, Justin Compton. And, Scotty, I know you saw it going to Justin Compton, who had the 24-year-old who had a tiny waist and just flared out like crazy and was in great condition. How did you see Brian actually winning it, though?
I'm sure side-by-side, Brian's just a lot bigger than him. But certainly in the individual photos, Justin Compton looks a hell of a lot better. To be honest, I haven't had a real good look at the comparisons, but I'm sure Brian just outmassed him, and Brian was in very, very good condition as well. But I just like Justin's physique a lot better, the way it flowed. I thought he was more separated, whereas Brian was super, super full and hard. I just like Justin's physique better. I thought he was far more aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah, Justin had one of the smallest waists I've seen on a guy that big in a fair while, because when he hits his front lat spread, it looks like he hardly has a waist. Did you notice that, Scotty?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's got a crazy, crazy taper to him. So I think you could maybe argue that his lower body is not quite up to par with his upper body. And maybe in some side poses, he doesn't have the thickness to the leg that Yerski has. So maybe that's what got him beaten as well. But I think in terms of potential going into the pro ranks, I'd say he's probably got the most out of everyone.
Yeah, you almost took the next question out of my mouth, Scotty. How do you see this guy going, you know, probably in the next year or two? Do you think he lacks a lot of mass to compete with the pros, or do you think with just a little bit more he can really kind of push some of these guys in, you know, top five positions in the small shows?
Well, I've seen pictures of him as a 19-year-old natty, and now pictures of him as a 24-year-old in obviously an untested competition, and the transformation is amazing. So, look, I assume he's probably still growing. It's still fairly early days for him. He's only young. So I think he'll do well. I don't think he could step in and do well immediately. I think he's going to need more size, definitely, and in particular on the lower body. So, yeah, he's probably 10, 15 pounds away. So, yeah, 5-6 kilos away from doing any real damage.
Yeah, for sure. We had Adam Cohen, coming in the light heavyweights. He was probably, I think he was a deserving winner of that class. He was very lean, had a pretty balanced physique overall. We might have had a little bit of a midsection type issue, but his legs were absolutely awesome, like huge medialises, and just overall I think he looked really good. But Scotty, the issue I wanted to bring up with you, they're giving away obviously 2 pro cards, like I mentioned before, to each class winner. Back in the day, you know, they'd have, you know, the overall just win the pro card. Do you think this is watering down comps like the Nationals and the USAs and stuff like that? Because some people have said it will increase the numbers at the, you know, Nationals and USAs and all that kind of stuff. But do you think it's actually watering down the quality?
Yeah, I guess in the long term it's going to, but what it's really watering down the quality is in the IFBB pro ranks. I mean, I can't imagine any of these second place guys are really going to step up and do damage in the pros. So it's just going to have a whole lot of mediocre pros running around. I mean, back in the day, it was absolutely brutal getting a pro card. Like guys like Flex Wheeler were taking 3 or 4 attempts to get him and things like that. You know, as soon as they won it, they stepped up and they were super competitive. So the amateurs was a really good testing ground for the pros. I don't think that's the case these days. There's no one in this lineup that looks like they're going to be a dominant pro anytime soon. There's guys with potential, but, you know, Yerski, I don't see him doing a whole lot. I personally don't like top two. I think it's ridiculous. They've got the Nationals, the USAs, and the North Americans. If, you know, are they giving out top two in all of those? Hopefully they are, but, I mean, come on, 6 heavyweights a year are getting pro cards, or 6 middleweights a year are getting pro cards? It's crazy.
Yeah, it is a lot of dudes that are going to be turning pro, and I think it is watering down, you know, like you said, both the IFBB and the NPC. I want to mention a few notable names that finished a little bit lower than probably expected in a few of the classes, especially in the super heavyweights. We had 3 guys that were kind of expected to kind of be up in that, you know, contending for the title. Kevin Jordan, he comes in 8th. Did you see Kevin, Scotty?
Yeah, I did. It's hard to believe he's actually competing heavier than he did last time he was on stage, because he actually looked smaller, but I guess that's just because his conditioning was a little bit off. But he's funny, like, he was actually softer from the front than he was from the back, like his glutes and that were in, but he just, I don't know if he was a little bit watery, if he got the body fat off, but he was a little bit watery or something. He wasn't quite on the money, though.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there, Scotty. He did look smaller. He's, and like Dave and Aaron said on the wrap-up video, when I was seeing the pictures before they even mentioned it, I said, his legs look smaller than they used to look, and they, you know, Aaron and Dave went on to say that same thing. I don't know what's actually happened there. They said he was very heavy and he had to come down a lot to kind of get in condition, and he still wasn't 100% all the way there. Akeem Williams comes in 9th in that super heavyweight class. Dave obviously does Akeem's diet, and he believed Akeem should have been a bit higher than he was. By looking at the pictures, I think he should have definitely been above Kevin Jordan and maybe a few other guys. But it definitely wasn't probably as good as Akeem can be. Did you see Akeem, Scotty?
Yeah, he's an absolute fucking beast. Like, he's a monster. And I would have thought he'd place higher, definitely. He's got a bit of gyno going on, and he hasn't nailed his condition again. But at the same time, he's just an animal. So, with a tiny waist. So, yeah, I would have liked to have seen him higher, definitely.
Yeah, he looks like he just needs a little bit more polish when he's on stage, maybe. Like, he's... you know, needs a bit more oil or something when he's on stage, and maybe needs to kind of improve his posing maybe a little bit and a few things like that, and just needs to come in just a touch tighter, and then he'll be, you know, contending obviously for that title, I think. Dusty Hanshaw finishes 1 place lower. I think Dusty, I think he's kind of, I don't like saying this about anyone, but he's increasingly got slightly worse. His condition wasn't on his presentation in terms of like the way his muscles sat and everything. It just didn't look 100% right. I don't know what's going on with his physique or what he's doing, but he, to me, looked flat and out of condition, so I don't know what's happening there, but he definitely wasn't at his best. And that's about all we're going to talk about, Scotty, because we're not going to go into detail because I talk about it on Heavy Muscle Radio. I just want to mention a few of the overall winners. In the men's physique, we had Vincent Foray. In the women's bodybuilding, we had Juantina Blano. In women's physique, we had Tony West. In the figure, we had Nicole Sims. And in the bikini, we had Angela Skills. So that's all the overall winners. Obviously, all of those people got their pro cards and a lot of other class winners as well. So congratulations to everyone that obviously won their classes and obviously got second and turned pro. I want to say a big shout out to Dave Plumbo and Aaron and all the people at RX that did some great coverage over the weekend. So you can check that out and check out the contest gallery to see what Scotty and I was talking about. That's on rxmuscle.com. So we'll move on from there, Scotty. That's it for the Nationals wrap-up. I just want to mention today I had a bit of a issue. I'm over here in Perth, so I'm actually using using a car of my newly acquired, no, well, it's not actually her car, it's her brother's car, my new girlfriend. So I'm actually off the market now officially, Scotty.
I saw the Facebook relationship change there, mate, and you've spent how many days with her now?
Not many.
Two, three?
Oh, maybe three. I've spent a few days with her before, but
yeah,
been in contact. Well, yeah, it's quick.
It is quick. It is quick.
Very. Yeah, I got a comment from one of the ex's friends and said something along the lines of "you don't take long" or something like that. And I said, "Yes, check your facts." And anyway, we'll move on, Scotty. Yeah, I was borrowing.
Weren't her facts like right on the money?
No, but. Sometimes other people move on quicker, Scotty. I won't say any more, but that's all I'll say. Anyway, I was using their car, and I went into the city using her brother's car, and I went into the city, which is probably about a 45-minute drive, and it was quite hot today. I don't know what it was, probably about 30 or so. And I drove into the city using a GPS, which was telling me to go up one-way streets the wrong way and stuff and all that. So I found it where I was going, and got back in the car, and I ended up calling someone or something, and I was very, very hot, so I had the air conditioning on and everything. I was sweating, and I was like, okay, the air conditioning was on, the GPS was on, the radio was on, and I was on the phone for probably about 10 minutes, get off the phone, type in where I want to go, and then I go to start the car, and of course it didn't start, because this was I'm driving a 2008 Impreza, and it's got the original battery in there. So when I found out it didn't start, I was like, shit. So I ended up calling Holly and my girlfriend, and he didn't have RACT roadside or anything like that, or RAC roadside. So I had to get that myself and hook that up. And yeah, and I was waiting there for probably about 2.5 hours, Scotty, so I didn't have didn't particularly have a fun time in Perth CBD for the first time.
Yes.
Yes. I like your answer, your reply there, Scotty. Nothing really coming out much.
Nothing much, no. I'm reading Brooke Dunlop, Bellabuff's status. She's lovely girl, but she's slowly turning into Lee Priest. And she's just starting to rant on Facebook now, where she used to just be always positive. But ever since she's been with Lee Priest, you can just see the influence rubbing off on her. And and now it's just the angry is coming out on a regular basis. It's kind of funny. Like, she's, you know, shame on you, trophy hungry idiots, what happened to honesty and integrity in sport and all this sort of stuff. It's good reading. So yeah, I tuned out of that story, but I'm sure the listeners enjoyed it.
I'm sure they did. Did you see her change relationship status, Scotty?
She's engaged.
Yes, to Lee Priest.
Yes.
thought everyone would find that interesting. That's sort of what you're actually going to bring up initially, and then you didn't even mention it. But yes, I saw that went up today. So that's interesting. They'll be getting married, I assume, if they're engaged.
One would think, yes.
Anyway, that's about it for our first segment, Scotty. We'll be back in 2 minutes with your Ask Scotty segment.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers. At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets, or shop online at massnutrition.com.au. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition, 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at bioflexnutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined by Scott Goble once again, and we're here for his Ask Scotty segment. Scotty, you ready?
I am ready.
As always. Now, we've got a few questions sent through. I didn't even have to send the thing out on Facebook for a few questions. I just sat back and received them, so I want to thank the people that obviously sent the questions through to me, because it makes my life a lot easier. And it's good to know that people are listening to the show as well and they're enjoying it and stuff. So I appreciate everyone that lets me know they're enjoying it, or the, if they critique us or whatever, that's good, because we only want to make the show better. Now, Scotty, we'll move on to the first question. First question is from Lee Carmichael, and it reads, so this is one of many similar messages I have received. I would like to see Scotty's take on this. What would he do, and what would he be keen to do, and for how much? This is the message. Hello. No offense or bad intentions, please. Just asking. The one-on-one muscle worship session depends on what you're open to doing, from flexing muscles, touching, etc., open to other possibilities. But within the boundaries of what you're comfortable with, what are you open to doing? How much would you be keen to be paid for a session? If still interested, send me your current age, height, weight, and what you are open to doing. If not, have a good week ahead. Cheers. So, Scotty, the question basically is, how much would you be keen to do and for how much?
Well, firstly, this is from Lee Carmichael, so we know he's asking me this question specifically on his own behalf. So let's just get that out of the way. I've been asked that question, and I say, sorry, mate, you know, not interested. That's not something I do. I have plenty of other means to earn money, and I choose not to participate in activities like this. So it's pretty much, I just dismiss it. Unless he came out and said, I will offer you $10,000 cash to pose for me and me alone, and there will be no touching. And then you would go, that's an intriguing prospect. But there's no way I would be replying to that and saying, oh, yeah, look, I'm 6'1" and 125 kilos, and, you know, if you wanted to touch, it would cost you $100,000, and if you didn't want to touch, then I could do it a little bit cheaper, blah, blah, blah. So it just wouldn't happen. I'd just dismiss it. Sorry, Lee.
Yes, yes. He'd be very disappointed. He's actually living over in Japan at the moment, isn't he, Lee?
Yeah, he's been over there for ages. Yeah. He seems to be doing quite all right for himself. He's living the dream.
Looks like there's some like acting gigs and stuff like that, and some modelling stuff and all that. So, yeah, good on him for doing all that kind of stuff. And I definitely wouldn't be able. I don't think I'd be able to move somewhere like Japan. It's just too culturally different for me. Anyway, we'll move on to the next question, Scotty, from Victoria Marie, aka Vicky from the Boards. I want to thank her for sending through the question. Scotty, what are your thoughts on L-glutamine? Do you think is an effective, worthwhile supplement, or is it based on its popularity, or is it more a bro science thing?
It's effective for things other than what bodybuilders take for. Like, it's excellent for your digestion. It's good for your immunity. All those sorts of things. It's especially good for a big range of digestive issues. So, in that regard, yes, it is worthwhile. Now, if you're taking it to reduce muscle soreness, accelerate recovery and things like that, no, it doesn't do a whole lot. The only time it'll do a whole lot is if you're basically protein deficient. It's a non-essential amino acid. Your body can manufacture it in large enough quantities, assuming your protein intake and essential amino intake is high enough for all its muscle repair roles and things like that. But by bombing in large doses on your digestive system, and your digestive tract has a lot of glutamine receptors and things, it can be very beneficial. So depending on what you're using it for, can be good, sometimes pointless.
Yeah. I was just wondering, Scotty, I was listening to, I don't know if it was Carl Lenore or if it was, or who it was, but someone was mentioning that leucine is actually converted to L-glutamine, and they were basically saying their opinion was, or they were speculating that glutamine supplementation alone may be pointless, and why wouldn't you just take leucine? But there was kind of a bit of a debate on it. Have you heard of this before, Scotty?
Well, leucine's one of the essential amino acids. I don't know the exact breakdown. I thought glutamine was made out of a couple different aminos, to be honest, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if leucine's one of them. I mean, there's only 8 essential aminos, and from that, your body can manufacture every single one of them. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if leucine's one of the components of manufacturing glutamine. You're going to get a lot more benefits out of the essentials than you are the non-essentials as a general rule, but there's definitely some evidence that glutamine will be good for digestive issues and even things like your metabolic damages and stuff like that. It's good for that.
Yeah, I've actually noticed when I've more so when I've been dieting before, if I've been having, you know, 20 grams, 25 grams, whatever, of glutamine a day, and I drop it out, like, or if I run out or whatever, I'm not having it for quite a few weeks. Actually, it's one of the few supplements I actually notice the difference. I feel a bit different on it. It might just be a placebo effect, I'm not sure, but I feel like maybe it's a supplement that definitely makes a difference. Anyway, Scotty, we'll move on to the next question. Adam Scott, I believe he trains at Spartans Gym, you mentioned. He says, loving Aussie Muscle Radio, which so I want to thank Adam for that. He says, got some questions for your Ask Scotty segment. Okay, so he's sent through three questions.
Yeah, so firstly, Adam could pay me for a personal training session at Spartans, where he sees me on an almost nightly basis, but no, he tries to elicit free information through the radio show. Thank you, Adam.
He's smart. He's smart. Good.
Yeah.
He says, on back days, I find it hard to do both deadlifts and bent over rows. Too much stress on my lower back to work at full strength on both.
Man up.
Wait for a question. He said, do you recommend focusing on one per week and rotating each week, or just man up?
Yeah, the second option. You don't have to do them back to back. Like if you do some full on deadlifts and then go straight to a bent over barbell row, your lower back's going to be pretty fatigued, and you're probably going to feel it more in your lower back than you will in your upper back. So I generally, if I deadlift first, then I'll go do a pull down movement, and then I can come back and handle bent over rows, no worries. I mean, you're not lifting the same sort of weight in a bent over row, so you're really just using your lower back as a stabilizer in an isometric contraction. So you should be fine doing that. If you're not fine, then you need to teach your body to be able to handle that sort of workload. So yeah, just man up. Just don't do them back to back. Be my suggestion. There's nothing wrong with chopping and changing the order of your exercises. Rather than dropping one out each week, maybe do one or the other first and then have a bit of a gap. Maybe if you do bent over rows first, maybe leave your deadlifts to last that workout, and vice versa. If you do your deadlifts first, maybe leave your bent over rows till you've done some sort of pull-down exercise or stiff arm pull-down or something like that, which is giving your lower back a bit of a breather.
Yeah, for sure. I actually find, I don't know if you do this, Scotty, but I do deadlifts last in my routine a lot of the time. Have you ever done this, or do you normally do them first up for a bit more strength?
No, I do both. I generally either do deadlifts first or last. Probably more often than first, but I've done them last on many occasions, and it's a great way to really finish your back off, I think. I quite like it.
Yeah. I've always pretty much done them last or close to last. Scotty, next question. How do you best measure performance, and how often should you do this? For example, a watched pot never boils. That's a bit of a quote there. He says, I use measurements, body fat, percentage, keep weekly photos, and keep a training log of critical exercises, and wonder if too much can be detrimental to improvements.
I was going to say, you OCD motherfucker. I don't really take measurements, probably because they depress me. My arms just always seem to measure like 18 and a half, and I'm like, fuck, 6'1", that's embarrassing. Gary Wright has 21-inch arms. So I don't do a whole lot of measurements. My performance, I largely measure in the gym with the weights I can move and the workouts I can get through. I know if they're improving, then the chances are my physique's improving. And then beyond that, it's just visual. I don't ever do body fat. I never do skin folds in the lead up to a comp. I don't feel that it's really that beneficial to this. I've just known too many people to go, yeah, I'm 48 mil on 7 sites. I'm 6% body fat, and then they look like shit on the day. So, I'd rather go by visual cues, my lower back coming through or my glutes or hamstrings coming through. So yeah, I'm probably a bit lackadaisical. Probably the correct answer is somewhere in between me and Adam. It doesn't hurt to do those things by any means, but at the same time, you might just do your head in.
Yeah, I think like when you know your body as well as you do, Scotty, and you've been doing it for so long, and you've got that size already, you can kind of tell when you're going to be in condition, like when certain bits of your back come through or your glutes come through or whatever like that. But I found the problem when I competed, I had a bit more muscle, so I kind of thought, oh, my back's kind of coming through now, so I'm all right. But I didn't realise that, it's just because I put on more muscle. It came through a little bit earlier, even though I was smooth over the top of it. I think, like you said, I don't think you need to keep as much of a track of things, because obviously you know your body a lot better, and it's probably, beneficial for Adam, to do something in between what you and he does currently.
Yeah, it's probably true. Well, I've always done that way. In my first comp, I didn't take body fat. Doing all those things, it can't hurt. So go for it.
Yeah, all right. The last question of Ask Scotty segment. He says, how much do you rate green tea, and how do you best utilize green tea in your daily diet?
I don't use it. So I guess that would imply that I don't rate it that highly. It's just another one of those things where you think, if I took everything that had any sort of evidence behind it, then I would just be pounding down supplements all day long. So I don't really use green tea. It's as far as fat burners go, it's probably quite a good one for naturals, just from the standpoint that it's not going to stress out their adrenals too much. It's actually got beneficial antioxidants and things in there. So in that regard, it's probably quite a good choice. But for me personally, I'm taking enough supplements. If I rattle them all off, you know, I'm well over a dozen supplements a day. So I don't really feel like I need to add another one. So it just misses out. I can take more effective fat burners in the IFBB, wink, and I can take, you know, very potent antioxidants as well. So I don't bother with green tea.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, like you said, like if you take anything that has any type of evidence behind it, you're going to be taking 100, 200 supplements, I'd say. So it's definitely, you got to pick and choose kind of what you're going to do, because you're not going to be able to take every supplement out there, because it's just going to get ridiculous. Scotty, that's the end of the Ask Scotty segment. We'll be back in a few minutes with our interview of the week. Haven't got a guest lined up 100% yet. We've got a few people I'm talking to, so I just want to kind of keep that under wraps, and I don't want to put a name out there that we're not going to have on the show. So we'll be back in 2 minutes of that interview, and then Scotty and I will be back for the wrap-up for the show.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets, or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at bioflexnutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined by a prestigious Australian bodybuilder, Rowan Reid. He's a multiple-time Mr. Australia winner, and he just won the under 90 kilo class, I believe, at the 2012 IFBB Nationals. Rowan, welcome to the show.
How are you, Xavier? Thanks for having me along.
I'm very well. Now, you've been competing for quite a long time in Australia, and you've moved around the world and stuff like that. Your first contest was actually the year I was born, in 1989. I was surprised when you actually told me that. Now, you competed, you've told me a bit about your history. You competed for a few years straight around that time, and then you had a 10-year layoff. I want you to tell us a bit about what you did in your layoff for 10 years, and then you obviously came back to competing and you did really well. What did you do in that kind of time when you weren't competing?
Okay, I think, firstly, that we've got to touch on the reason why I had a bit of a layoff was that in 1989, I was a young bloke, and I was very keen about my bodybuilding. And as we moved towards 1992, I turned 21. 20 in 1991, and in 1993, I was going to be 21 and unable to compete in the juniors anymore. And that was, to go from juniors to open men back then, even the novice class had, as it still does, sort of like quite a few of those freaks that show up. And that was pretty daunting for a young bloke. And so, looking around the gym at all these monsters who were getting ready for the show, I really was unable to sort of picture myself being on stage with them. And I think the reason having the classic class now is probably a great idea about that. And it really it scared me off it for quite a little bit of time and made me perhaps a bit smaller in size than what I'd sort of developed a sense of self through my bodybuilding. And having to step up into the class made me a little bit smaller in size. And I actually went away and did quite a few naughty little things. I probably wasn't the most stand-up member of society. And I had some trouble with the law. And when all that trouble with the law finished, I was on a suspended sentence, so I decided to move overseas to avoid falling into any traps that the law or people around me might see me in, and write out my suspended sentence in Japan. And that was instrumental in making me a better person and standing on my own two feet and doing something hard again that sort of brought me back around to... I never stopped training, but I guess I lost that hardness that I developed in my younger years.
Yep, so you're kind of almost just going to the gym just to go to the gym, not with any particular goal in mind, I guess.
Yeah, when a competitive bodybuilder loses that sense of competition, I mean, you lose a part of yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I almost know what you mean in that sense, because I was, training for a while and didn't know where my next kind of comp was going to be or what was happening. So I really kind of lost that that drive to go to the gym because you don't have a specific goal in mind, I guess.
Yeah, you lose some of that edge.
Yeah, definitely. So you mentioned that you moved to Japan. That's obviously a huge move, different cultural differences and all that kind of stuff. What did you do over in Japan? I remember you said you trained a few like sumo wrestlers and stuff like that.
Yeah, moving to Japan was instrumental in, I guess, making me grow up. I moved there. I wanted to do something hard. And back then, I guess the only hard place to move to was Iraq. Japan is really a closed country. It's a difficult culture for a white person to integrate into. I spoke very limited Japanese, and when I moved there, I had, I think, $5,000 in my pocket. And I stepped pretty much on the street for 2 weeks until I got myself up and running. I just had a pack, and I just went day by day sorted myself out and just got a little bit ahead, a little bit ahead. And it was really a great time for me sort of sorting myself out. And, I had to save up for coffee sometimes, it's a very expensive place to live. And I found it very hard, but I worked in World Gym in Nakano in Tokyo. And I also worked for the Navy by day as a civilian contractor, as a lifeguard, and had a lot of contact with the military there.
Yeah, was you a giant over there compared to a lot of the Japanese guys? Because a lot of them are much smaller in stature, like in height. Not only height, but also a lot of the Asian guys have a bit more trouble putting on the muscle. Was you like seen as like almost like a god type thing over there? Did you get a lot of clients and stuff through that? Just, you know, being bigger than everyone?
I did get quite a few clients that are Japanese, more so probably because they wanted to speak English during their workouts. But
oh, really?
Let me tell you, there's a bunch of guys over there with that Hide Yamagashi gene. And there's two types of Japanese gene, either the really sort of slim, hard to put on weight one, or that sort of heavy set, heavy boned, almost Samoan type genome. And so I've watched guys over there bench press 5 plates for 3 sets of 10 without a spotter.
Wow. Is it true that the Asian, people are a lot harder, they have a lot better work ethic than most Caucasian people?
Because I've heard this a lot. You have to tell them when to stop. Yeah, you have to tell them when to stop. If you say do push-ups, you actually have to tell them, okay, that's enough. If you tell a white person do push-ups, they'll do push-ups until they think they've done enough. But if you tell a Japanese person to do something like that, they will do it until they die.
Yeah, it's incredible. I've heard the same Milos Sarchev has said about Hidetada Yamagishi, that he's the hardest trainer he's ever, trained. So it's insane, a lot of their work ethic and stuff and how they can go so hard and push themselves so much. I don't know if it's because of if it's just the way they're raised or what it is.
It's raised in their culture, and dying well is kind of celebrated. So, I mean, if you're going to get on a treadmill or do something, and you're prepared to fucking die doing it, that's really going to reflect the amount of work that you do. And I try and approach some of my gym work, not necessarily my workouts, because I'm a sort of think about stimulating, not necessarily annihilating. I don't bring a lot of that emotion to the gym that some guys bring, but certainly, I'm not afraid to die doing what I'm doing. I will work harder and longer than anyone that I think is doing more than me. I will do more than them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you kind of adopted some of the same work ethic from that, because it's got to be motivating seeing these guys just go absolutely balls to the wall. And maybe they're not even into bodybuilding, they're just wanting to put on a little bit of size or something like that. So it's obviously got to be motivating for you.
Even the school kids doing sport have the same sort of ethic. It's really heartening to see.
Yeah. Now, what's motivated you to stay into bodybuilding? Because you've been in it for the sport for a long time, as we mentioned. Is there a specific motivating factor, or is it just the fact that you just love bodybuilding?
Ask someone who's been married for 25 years if they love their partner the same way that they did when they met them. I have to say it's a different relationship now, but it's definitely I'm married to it. I can't see myself doing anything else. What would I do? I don't. But do I love it the same way? I do it because it's what I do.
Yep.
I still love. Nick Skionti asked me, we sat down for dinner once, he said, do you still love bodybuilding, mate? Do you still love it? And I said, I still love my bodybuilding. I'm sick to death of everybody else's. But that's just 25 years of doing what you do. You're going to be a little bit less passionate or something about hearing how someone did a PB on their squat or something like that. It's sort of, okay, good idea.
Yeah, you're not going to particularly care about that. I think a lot of people are probably the same way, but even more so because you would have seen a lot of people obviously come up and have a lot of hype behind them and they haven't done a lot and stuff, and you would have seen this over and over, so you'd get kind of a little bit sick of hearing all these stories of people, this person's going to be excellent, it's going to be excellent, when really there's the people out there doing it are the ones that are doing it then. Like, you're currently winning Mr. Australia, so you're the one that, should be getting the credit for being at the top. Now, you've been competing, obviously, a long time. I saw a few photos of you after the Nationals eating up big. What's your favourite food post-contest?
If I step off stage, I try not to go out and have the restaurant bench that I think a lot of guys do. I really like... I actually enjoy cooking. I'm a former chef, and not only do I enjoy cooking, I enjoy having it the way I like it. And I think that having whole foods, especially as soon as you step off stage, a lot of liquids, not a lot of alcohol, all those rebound things really have a dire effect. And in my time as a coach, I've driven a lot of people to hospital with twisted bowels and all sorts of stomach problems and things like that. And I really try and stay away. I'm very gradual about introducing any sort of those foods. I had my first pizza last night since the comp. I haven't eaten pizza. I haven't had McDonald's yet. I haven't had a hamburger, I don't think. I ate pretty clean while I was away. For a little while, I did some research for a muscle camp. I really don't eat a lot of rubbish foods. I like to have a roast chicken after the show, and I made a roast lamb this year. I had some sushi and a big salad, surprisingly enough. I really think that refeeding on those whole foods is a really healthy place to put your body in and stops a lot of that rebound that you suffer coming out of a comp. Where your body just explodes and it hurts and all that sort of stuff. And okay. I just like to keep my body really healthy as much as I can. I mean, certainly I like to indulge in a little bit of, those foods, junk foods sometimes here and there for a month after the show. At the moment, I'm on what I call Meals Plus, and that's going to end at the end of this week, and that means I've got to eat all my bodybuilding meals. And then after that, if I want something extra, I can have something extra. Next week, it'll go to my meals plus one cheap meal. So if I want to have a meal out or something like that, I'm pretty strict about my diet. I don't get away with a lot of what other people will get away with. I have to be really tight.
Yep. Is that just because your metabolism, do you think, or is it just the age thing?
I certainly think that I've never been advantaged as far as my metabolism goes. I gain weight pretty easily, right? And people are always been at me sort of saying, oh, geez, Rowan, if you just show up in shape, and my only reply can be, if you spent a week with me and you could keep up with the amount of work that I do and how little I eat, there's not too many people who would stick by me. Scott Slayman helped me with my prep this time, the first time I've ever had someone help me, but I trust Scott. He listens to me pretty well and he understands my body a little bit better than someone who might give me a cookie cutter approach. And yeah. he was shocked at how strict I was in the off season. My off season would get most people ripped.
Wow. So yeah, you've obviously got a slightly slower metabolism than some people, and it's much harder for you, I suppose, to get in condition.
Yeah, it's not just a metabolism, it's like a lymphatic or water retention problem a little bit as well. And it's played havoc with my bodybuilding over the years, but I've soldiered through, and from it I've found more ways to like beat your body than probably someone who might have been a little bit more advantaged might be.
Yeah, for sure. It's often the case with guys with the in one area or all areas with slightly worse genetics, they generally work a lot harder and get a lot better results than the guys with the excellent genetics, because they don't work near as hard. So
the other advantage is, as a coach, if I take someone who's got pretty good genetics and show them a lot of the details that I put in to my training, they get fantastic, like, out-of-this-world results.
Yeah, of course, definitely. Now, we'll move on to just a different subject, not really that different. It's you run your own gym and personal training studio where you train, obviously, your clients out of. How long have you been doing this for, Ron?
Since I returned from Japan, I've had a gym. I had a slightly smaller one than this that I've got now from 2000 to 2007. And then I moved to this bigger premises that I've got now in 2007. I've been here since. It's 300 square foot. It's certainly not a studio. I've got 10 tons of rubber on the floor before we put any equipment down. There's no, it's not like there's rubber and then carpet, or we just put rubber on the heavy duty. The whole floor is covered with rubber that's over an inch thick before we put any of our heavy duty equipment down. And nearly all the equipment comes ex Bayswater Fitness Factory gym. Now, the old school Melbourne bodybuilders would know that of the 80s and 90s, more champions came out of that gym or those gyms than anywhere else.
So you've got all the kind of old school equipment that actually, it might look slightly older, but it actually hits the muscles well and works. Is that right?
Absolutely. I had Charles Glass in here, and he was astounded at how smooth and how well everything moved, and the design of it was. He was very impressed.
Yeah, you can't beat some of the old school equipment. I've trained in a few gyms where, you know, with some gyms, some of the old stuff's a bit hit and miss. But if you've got someone like yourself that knows what should be used and stuff, and what pieces of equipment are worthwhile, then you're gonna get the best of the old equipment. You're definitely gonna have a good gym.
Absolutely. The dumbbells go up to 180, and there's four different calf machines. It's probably better equipped than some membership gymnasiums.
Wow, that's excellent. Definitely heavy dumbbells and stuff. Now, on your website, it says you have Thailand and Bali training camps for men and women. Tell us a little bit about these, because it's kind of a lot different to what a lot of people do. Like, I haven't actually heard of someone really doing a kind of a training camp internationally before.
Okay, well, one of the main reasons for taking people away is that, apart from it being their holiday, they don't go backwards on their holiday from their training, but also they get a little bit of a boost because while they come away from their family and friends, which maybe tend to distract them from their training disciplines, we're surrounding them with like-minded people, and we do a lot of sort of everyday practices that I instill in my life to help them instill those disciplines in their bodybuilding, so they come away with it with a lot of habits. BioFlex has been really, really good. My sponsors, they give everyone a big bag of supplements so that they can run their bodybuilding like a professional athlete for the week. So they learn a supplement program and what's necessary and what's not necessary, which is pretty good. We train every day, so they learn a lot of training circuits. Sometimes we train twice a day. And, there's a great camaraderie there as well, being surrounded by those like-minded people. So it's a really good sort of feeling and a good step in someone's bodybuilding journey to take away for the rest of their life, because it's not always about trophies and whether you win or lose, or even whether you get on stage or not. It's that bodybuilding journey, the experiences that you have, that you take away from your bodybuilding that are going to pay the biggest dividends.
Yeah, of course. Now, how much does a camp like this generally cost? Or do I have to contact you to find out that information?
No, it's we do it as lean as we possibly can, but we do book out private villas. We do all their food for them, their transport. They pay their own gym fees, but pretty well much after they get in country, it's $2,500, all their training, all their food, all their seminars and all their supplements.
How long are these camps?
They go for a week, 8 days, and we allow even for a day's travel at either end. So there's 7 to 8 days on the ground.
That's pretty excellent. Like $2,500, pretty much all expenses paid, all food. You don't have to worry about a lot. Like that's pretty good in terms of that kind of a deal, because you have a certain training camp will go for a day and might cost up to $1,000.
Sure.
For 8 days in another country for $2,500, it's not really a huge price to pay considering you get a holiday and a lot of information.
The other advantages that they have, Xavier, is that my local knowledge in Thailand, I speak enough Thai to reduce a lot of prices. When we're in Bali with the girls, we run a women's mind, body and spirit retreat in Bali with Komang Anar. Komang, he would practically be the prince of Bali. He knows that island backwards, and everybody in Bali knows him. And the amount of money that you can save just by having someone with that local knowledge and a little bit of language skills is huge. The prices just drop. There's always two prices in those countries, tourist price and everybody else's price.
Yeah, definitely. With that inside knowledge, people go over with you and they want to buy certain things, I'm sure they can get stuff a lot cheaper, and that's going to obviously benefit them, and you're going to be able to come away with probably a few things from Thailand as well.
And they want to be able to buy the genuine article as well, Xavier, in those countries. So I think we both know what we're talking about. You don't want to buy an item that's fake. You want to buy the genuine article and make sure you're getting what you pay for.
Yeah, of course. Now we'll move on to what a few people I think will want to know about from you. Now you controversially lost your division at the 2012 IFBB Victorian titles. You lost it to Aaron Curtis, who's a natural Mr. Australia, a previous natural Mr. Australia. it was a shock. I wasn't sitting next to Scott Goble, but I messaged him and I was kind of a bit shocked about the decision at the time. And Aaron looked great, taking enough away from Aaron, but I think most people would have had you winning, Rowan. Were you surprised that you got beat by Aaron?
I was a little bit surprised, but probably not as surprised as a lot of people in the audience, because I've never really done well at that show. It's always been something that I've never really pushed the peak for. I always peak for the next week. You and Scott on your radio show made a couple of good points, and some judges made some good points. I didn't spend a lot of time doing a posing routine this year. I didn't really actually have a posing routine for the first time probably ever. I spent a lot more time in my prep doing cardio, and this year I haven't had any partner support or anyone else to help me. I've run the whole gym and myself all on my own, and that really impacted on my preparation time. Truth be told, I followed Evan Centopani, and Aaron came out and was Kevin Leverone. They're really in that presentation round. I mean, who knew that they judged it? But apparently they did. I spoke to Neil before the show and said, "Hey Neil, I haven't got a posing routine. Can I be arrogant and walk up and down? Am I in good enough nick to walk up and down the stage and just most muscular?" He said, "Yeah, if you've never done the walk, hey, go for it." It's certainly cost me not being able to hold my midsection as well as I would like to. When I get a little bit nervous, my midsection starts to pop from the cortisol a little bit, and I have a little bit of trouble holding that until the next week, where I calm down a little bit and get a little bit more comfortable on the stage. That show's always been a good warm-up for me, and I like perhaps placing second. I don't mind. I'm not angry or anything. Aaron's a great competitor. He looks really good. He was really sharp through the midsection. He's got great legs. He's very genetically gifted. And I've been beaten by Warren Clampett. I've been beaten by Tim Martin. I'm not really fussed about being beaten by a natural competitor. We're on stage to compete. It's not a matter of tags or anything. You stand next to someone, you stand next to someone. If they're prepared to stand next to me, they're prepared to lose to me as much as I'm prepared to lose to them. At the backstage, I was certainly the monster in their closet. They were all saying, "Oh, gee, thanks for showing up." I said to the boys, "I'm always here. Thanks for you for showing up." So I'm really sort of ambivalent about the whole thing. I'm not shocked or upset or disappointed. I won't go around crying about that I got ripped off. I just won three Mr. Australias in a row, and no one's done that in the under 90 class for over 30 years. So certainly as long as I've been training, so I'm happy as Larry. More power to him.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you went on to win the nationals in the under 90 kilo class, and it was your third year in a row. How good was it winning that class after getting a controversial second at the Vicks?
I'm still smiling about it.
Yeah,
That had been my focus since my first Mr. Australia to see that through to a third title. I knew that three in a row, as I spoke to Scotty before we went on at the Mr. Australia, I spoke to him at the registration, and I said three in a row, and he said it kind of legitimizes things. The only other people that have done that recently, I think, is Scott and Neil.
Yeah, it's not a big thing. It's not a common thing to happen.
No. So, and certainly in that class, which is probably the toughest class, it's where mass meets class. It really is. It's not been done. I thought that Mick Scionti might have been the last one to do it, and he was in Thailand at the time of the show, and I couldn't get a hold of him. And I spoke to Matt McLean and said, "Do you know anyone who's done it?" And he said, "It's got to be Mick." And I spoke to Mick, and Mick confessed to me that he'd only gone two, and then he missed the year and went third and fourth. So no one's done three in a row since. I mean, I'd love to know who it was. Tony might know, but I'd love to know anyone who went three in a row before, because Sam didn't, Sam Pappas, Tony Rossi didn't. I'm probably dropping names that people are going to go, "Who?" But I've been around forever.
Yeah, you know them all.
I've got bodybuilding A to Z.
Now, I forgot to mention this earlier in the interview. When you were in Japan, you were a US Navy civilian contractor, and that was obviously a huge thing while he's in Japan. I just totally forgot to ask you that, but I just thought I'd bring it up again. What was that like, obviously doing that while he's in Japan?
Getting paid $1,500 a week to sit by a pool in 1998 was probably the best job I've ever had. It was absolutely heaven. But the people that I met, from UN weapons contractors to retired Army Rangers to generals to Marines that would regularly fight on the bottom of the pool and just tell me, oh, come on, man, it's all training. The Navy SEALs that I met impacted on my training quite a degree. Their philosophy as far as over, under, and through it, and if someone says it can't be done, they show them how it can, really instilled a great belief in myself and my training. They recruited me quite heavily, offering me a green card, and they also offered me a 9 month of the year deployment, which I knew would end the relationship that I was in at the time. So I declined, but that philosophy stayed with me, and I brought it back here, and I'm running now Navy SEAL boot camps along with my gym personal training. We probably run the best Navy SEAL boot camps in Melbourne, if not Australia. I have members of the US, the Australian Special Forces assisting me, and they keep coming back time and again, and I ask them, why do you keep coming back? It's not because I pay them well. They come back because it's legitimate, rigid work, and they believe in it.
That's excellent. That's obviously like a pretty unique kind of thing. Are most people doing these camps, are they more targeted on weight loss?
I don't think that the way we run them, in summer we run one on Friday nights for 6 Friday nights a week. I don't think that anyone was going to get fit. They're not going to transform their body from it. It's about getting the mind fit. The way we run it, we help people find that they can push themselves further than what they thought they could. You know, we call it the 20 times rule, that you're capable of 20 times more than you think you are, but most people stop quite early, and their mind stops them. And we try to show them that they can go beyond where they think they can and get a better result from the actual training that they do in the gym. I mean, I can mold bodies in the gym. You know, I can hit the side of a 20-cent coin on your body by showing your movement and how to push, where to push, where to put your foot, where to put your hand. What I can't do is make that real life and take you out of that and make you uncomfortable to the point where you actually really, really want to stop. And if I can do that in the arena, on the beach or in the bush, I can bring that back to the gym and translate that into a machine and hitting the side of a 20-cent coin, and we're getting a better result in the gym all the time.
Yeah, that's excellent. And obviously all those years of training have enabled you to be able to show how to hit certain muscle groups and how to hit, you know, certain head of a muscle or all that kind of stuff. Now, I just want to mention you're a BioFlex-sponsored athlete. What is your kind of staple in terms of supplements with BioFlex range? Like, do you use the HydroFlex post-workout, all that kind of stuff?
I do use the HydroFlex post-workout. In the off-season, I use the BioFurnace first thing in the morning before I start my morning clients, because getting to breakfast is sort of pretty hard. It takes you do a few clients before you manage to eat any sort of solid food, so I grab one of those. I really like the Recover-X for both pre- and intra-workout. I use a lot of their BCAAs and the Glutaflex. I really like those. That's probably more or less the way we go. We use a bit of biocharge, but I don't like to use that all the time. The face tingles get to me a little bit with the beta-alanine, but it certainly does stop the burn as far as training a body part like legs or calves or something. It's quite good as that from that point of view.
Yeah, sure. Now, as we come to the end of the interview, how do people get in contact with you if they want personal training or they want to sign up to one of your camps or something?
They can contact me through my website, bodymatrix.com.au. They can contact me on Facebook, Rowan J. Reed, or we have a fan page, Body Matrix Gym and PT in Facebook.
Thanks for being on the show, Rowan. That's Rowan Reed, multiple time Mr. Australia.
paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at BioFlexNutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm here with Scott Goble once again, and we're just here to wrap up the show and quickly talk about the INBA Olympia, which is on obviously over in the US of A. The Australian team had a few people go over there, and I've heard some results kind of come out, but the official results aren't out yet, and so me and Scotty looked high and low for them on the internet, and we cannot find them. But we do know Mass Nutrition's Tegan Campbell won her division, I believe, at the INBA Olympia. Tegan, if you hear this and I'm wrong, or anyone else, please correct me, but I believe you did win your division, or I'm not sure if it was the overall, but I know you won your division. Janet Kane, I believe, did well, and she won at least one division at the INBA Olympia. And also INBA, or is it PNBA Pro, Justin Figuera, he took third in the pros, Scotty. So
yep.
I heard a lot of Aussies did really well over there, and they seem to kind of be the standard in the INBA worldwide.
Yeah, they did. My little buddy Lauren Webb won hers. I think she was in Figure International, she was saying. So congratulations to her as well. I think the pro division was much hyped. I know it was Akashi Moody, obviously Justin, who pushed him last time they competed against each other, and I believe his name is Philip Ricardo Jr., who's another formidable African-American competitor. So I guess Justin came third behind those two. I've heard mixed reviews. I haven't seen any real pictures, so can't assess it myself. But Justin's amazing, so for him to be beaten, they must have been good.
Yeah, we'll mention on the next Aussie Muscle Radio after we see some pictures, because I'm sure plenty will come out and, you know, people will be tagged on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. But I imagine it was a good pro division, because has Justin won the pro division before, or did he just win the Olympia amateur?
I think he won the overall amateur, and I think he's been beaten by Kiyoshi.
Yeah, so Justin's obviously one of those top guys up there, and for him to get third, obviously it must have been a very good lineup, because when you see Justin, he does not look like he doesn't look like a natural dude with those kind of wheels he's got. Like, he's just got really thick legs, big arms. Like, he's got pretty much everything, doesn't he? Just maybe a slightly flat chest, maybe, but that's nitpicking, really.
Yeah, there's not much wrong with his physique. It's pretty crazy. He's like Curtis. He translates very well into the IFBB on ABBA.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. Now, I want to mention one more thing. I saw a picture of Darren, New Zealand IFBB pro bodybuilder Darren Onikawa, that Moa Masawi posted up on Facebook. This dude, I reckon, I don't know what you thought, how he should have gone at the Australian Pro Show this year, Scotty, earlier this year, but I think he should have been up in third, and he looks like he's made some big improvements on that. He's 140 kilos at the moment. And what do you think this guy can actually, you know, go into pro comps and, you know, in the US and be placing top three and, you know, possibly qualifying for an Olympia?
Yeah, I think he's still figuring stuff out. I mean, he was still training at home or something, wasn't he? Something ridiculous like that. And he had, from what I understand, he's done it tough. Like, he's done it on a very, very low budget and very, very limited facilities. So if he can rectify those things, he can do very well, I have no doubt. He's got an amazing frame, incredible taper, shoulders, back, everything. He could maybe bring his wheels up a little bit, but I thought he should have been third as well. So, yeah, I think Darren's got big potential.
Yep, definitely. I mean, he's got all the potential in the world, because the improvements he made between was the 2011 pro show compared to 2012 were just absolutely amazing. He looked great in 2011, but I mean, 2012 he just blew his size and conditioning out of the water pretty much. I also just want to mention before the end of the show, my email, it's xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. If you want to send through any Ask Scotty questions, you can send them to there. You can send them to my personal Facebook or the RX Muscle Australia Facebook. Scotty, are you taking on any clients at the moment, online clients? You want to mention some contact info?
I can squeeze in some online ones. My actual one-on-one sessions are pretty much booked out these days. But, yeah, I can take on some online clients for off-season training. I'm not comp-prepping anyone for March. I'm obviously competing in March myself, and I don't feel that I'll be able to do people justice if they're going to be, you know, up there around the same time as me. I'll be off over at the Arnold Classic, and I'll be a grumpy prick. So I will prep people for May show. So if anyone's looking at doing the NABBA show, they can contact me. But otherwise, just off-season diets and nutritional plans anytime, just hit me up at scottgoblebodybuilder@gmail.com.
Excellent, Scotty. Thanks for putting that info out there. And obviously, everyone get down to Mass Nutrition Mooney Ponds. That's on Puckle Street, I think it is.
131 Puckle Street, that is correct.
I nailed it. Yeah, I've heard it that many times now, Scotty. I'm getting used to hearing Puckle Street because it's quite a unique name. Anyway, that's it for another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. And remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Yeah! Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.